it might be a good time for a cuss card.
Oh. The insurance companies understand this threat, and they aren't waiting to see whose sea level estimate proves most accurate. Is it going to be 6 feet? Is it going to be 4.5? What's it going to be? Insurance companies are already jacking up their home and project insurance rates, sometimes by a factor of 10 times as much to insure your home if you're near the coast. An Allstate agent, Deborah Dixon, told Who What Why, quote, Allstate Insurance hasn't written a new homeowner's policy in this state since Hurricane Wilma in 2006. Think about that for a second. I mean, you know, we can sit around and talk about this all the time. On this side, you have the people who understand the science. On the other side, you have the right-wing idiots. But somewhere in the middle are the insurance companies. Like I say, their existence depends on taking in more than they pay out. And they're saying, that's enough. Allstate has also dropped 320,000 homeowners policies since that year, 2006. And that's not the only one. Mercury Casualty has bailed out of the Florida home insurance market. AAA no longer offers homeowner policies to auto club members, except as a package along with their auto insurance. National Oceanic and Aeronautics Administration has four projections for sea level rise by 2100, I'm sorry, ranging from a conservative 1 foot rise just from expanding warmer water. That's already been reached 86 years early. We have that now. To a 6.5 foot rise that assumes a significant Greenland ice sheet melt. But a homeowner near the shore who's been there for a while thinks that the 6.5 foot estimate is too low. He says, quote, I think it's more likely, given what we are learning about the way ice melts, that the melting rate on Greenland will keep accelerating, and that we'll also have increased melting of ice in Antarctica, which would give us a 15-foot sea rise by 2100. I mean, this is scary stuff. And one of the reasons it scares me is, like I said, I have family members who live in Florida. Can't seem to get them to move. The thing about Florida, a sea rise in Florida doesn't have to be real dramatic to be devastating. Even a 2 foot rise, which could be reached as early as 15 years from now, 30 years from now, would do the trick. Why? Well, for one thing, the entire Florida coast, where most people live and where most of the cities are located, is only a few feet above sea level. That's enough to wreak havoc with the coastal region's water, sewer, highway, and electric infrastructure, which impacts inland as well. And that's because the whole of South Florida is basically the remnant of an ancient coral reef that was once submerged under a shallow sea. And this so-called bedrock is composed entirely of porous limestone. This is the part that really freaks me out. Pick up a chunk, put it to your mouth and blow, and you'll hear and feel air coming out the holes on the other side. This is what South Florida is built on. As the sea inexorably rises, it will push unseen through this island bedrock, inland bedrock. It'll turn Biscayne Aquifer salty, and that aquifer provides most of the fresh water for farms and for South Florida's 6 million people. The limestone is 50% air. That makes it impossible to build the kind of dikes like they have in the Netherlands to keep out the sea. So, because the ocean would just bubble up behind the walls. So, the bottom line to this, what Lindorf has written here about Florida. Florida is, of all the places in the United States that are, they're going to be severely hit by global climate change, Florida is probably the leading area of the country. because of its the state structure, its geologic structure, because it's so low. Here in Atlanta, we're over 1,000 feet above sea level. Oh, thank you. And I just, I've seen maps of what can be expected of what the coastline of Florida is going to look like in the next 40 or 50 years. And it's pretty scary. We'll be right back.
What's sort of funny about this whole thing is that the progressive is concerned about the rise in water and weather change, which he should be. We all should be. But at the same time, he's not concerned with the rise of the non-whites in Florida that are gradually eating up the state. And he lives in Georgia, Atlanta, which is going to be the epicenter of the black nation. No, that's okay. That's okay. Because racism's bad, and race mixing's good to this guy. But as far as the water situation and the rise in water, that's going to be something else to see. Now, it may take several years, obviously, but it looks like it's going to happen, and it's going to happen along the East Coast too. So in fact, it's going to happen along all the coasts the way it's going. And then this vortex that keeps pushing south and pushing the cold air down here, and you see what we've got this winter. So we're going to have a lot more fun here. We may end up living in igloos. What do you know? I had a problem there while I was recording. I have a speech-to-print program on several of my computers, two or three of them. And I got to watch it, because if I leave it on, it affects my recording. And I watched my cursor while I was recording there, and it started moving around, and things started coming on and going off. And I'm, what the hell is that? And I looked up there, and I saw that speech to print was on. And it will interfere with your internal MP3 recorder. So I'll probably have to patch this show together. We'll see what happens. Well, would you be shocked to learn that the FBI apparently knew that some organization, perhaps even a law enforcement agency or a private security outfit, had contingency plans to assassinate peaceful protesters in a major American city and did nothing to intervene? Would you be surprised to learn that this intelligence comes not from a shadowy whistleblower, but from the FBI itself? Specifically from a document obtained from the Houston FBI office last December as part of the Freedom of Information Act request filed by the Washington, D.C.-based Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. To repeat, this comes from the FBI itself. The question then is, what did the FBI do about it? Remember the Occupy movement? Yeah, I stood on a street corner. I had a big sign. I put a sign out front of my house, too. I supported the Occupy movement. I know there were a bunch of left-wing faggot bastards and Jews in it, but I believe in people getting into the streets and rising up. And then it's up to you. The peaceful crowds that camped out in the center of a number of cities in the fall of 2011 called for some recognition by local, state, and federal authorities that our so-called democratic system was out of whack, controlled by corporate interest, and in need of immediate repair. That movement swept the U.S. beginning in mid-September 2011, when in early October the movement came to Houston, Texas. Law enforcement officials and city's banking and oil industry executives freaked out, perhaps even more so than they did in some other cities. The pushback took the form of violent assaults by the police on Occupy activists, federal and local surveillance of people seen as organizers and infiltration by police provocateurs, and, as crazy as it sounds, some kind of plot to assassinate the leaders of this nonviolent, leaderless movement. Just like in Egypt and other countries, and you think it wouldn't happen here? These American institutions, so-called, these U.S. institutions, they'd never do that to their own people. But don't take our word for it. Here's what the document obtained from the Houston FBI said. An unidentified deleted as the October plan to engage in sniper attacks against protesters in Houston, Texas, if deemed necessary. An identified deleted name had received intelligence that indicated the protesters in New York and Seattle planned similar protests in Houston, naughty boys, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin, Texas. Planned to gather intelligence against the leaders of the protest groups and obtain photographs, and then formulated a plan to kill the leadership via suppressed sniper rifles. Note, protests continued throughout the weekend with approximately 6,000 persons in New York City. Occupy Wall Street protests have spread to about half of all the states in the U.S., over a dozen European and Asian cities, including protests in Cleveland, at Willard Park, which was initially attended by hundreds. Very interesting. That was from the FBI office itself. Yeah. Well, there you go. They wouldn't do that to us, would they? I always get a kick out of the people who say that the government won't use troops against the citizens. All systems, all states do that. They all do it. Now, this is interesting. Paul Kennedy of the National Lawyers Guild, attorney in Houston, who represents a number of Occupy Houston activists arrested during the protest, had not heard of the sniper plot, he said. Now, remember, the National Lawyers Guild was cited as being a Marxist group back in the 60s and 70s. So they're a little bit to the left. But that's okay. I find it hard to believe that such information would have been known to the FBI and that we would not have been told about it, unquote. He then added darkly, quote, if it had been some right-wing group plotting such action, something would have been done. But if it's something law enforcement was planning, then nothing would have been done. It might seem hard to believe that a law enforcement agency would do such a thing, but I wouldn't put it past them. He adds, the use of, paraphrase, if deemed necessary, sounds like it's some kind of official organization that was doing the planning, unquote. In other words, the identified mentioned in the Houston FBI document may have been some other agency with jurisdiction in the area, which was calculated making plans to kill Occupy activists, no matter which wing they were in. Kennedy knows firsthand of the extent which combined federal, state, and local law enforcement forces in Houston were focused on disrupting and breaking up the Occupy action in the city. He represented seven people who were charged with felonies for a protest that attempted to block the operation of Houston's port facility. That case fell apart when, in the course of discovery, the prosecution disclosed that the occupiers had been infiltrated by three undercover officers from the Austin Police Department, who came up with the idea of using a device called a sleeping dragon, actually chains inside of PVC pipes, which are devilishly hard to cut through for chaining protesters together and blocking the port access. The police provocateurs, Kennedy says, actually purchased the materials and constructed the criminal instruments themselves, supplying them to the protesters. As a result of this discovery, the judge tossed out the felony charges. Well, this is as old as the hills. They were doing that to us way back. The government doesn't care. They got to have control. They did it to us in the 60s. I mean, the FBI was going around talking to employers, getting guys fired, especially guys that might have been mixed up in the Minutemen. But a lot of right-wingers lost good careers because the feds went around and offed them. But they do the same thing to the people on the so-called left, too. So you got to understand that. You know, I hear a lot about anguish about violence against women. And obviously it's not good to have violence against women. But wait a minute. If they're concerned about violence against women, how come the State Department's bringing all these Islamics into the country? Because they are notoriously wife beaters, wife killers, and total discrimination against the women. So if you want to clean up that kind of stuff in the United States, how come they're bringing all these people that practice that generally from day to day in the country? Thousands of people that the State Department are setting down in your community who live by those standards. That's their habits, beating on their wives, beating on women, physically doing some very bad things to them. Why are they bringing them in here? Why are they bringing them in here if they don't want that kind of stuff going on in this country? Inquiring minds would like to know. Boy, I see now that they've got home DNA tests. That's going to be a real winner. I mean, you know, home DNA test. Whoopee. Now you can find out to the 10,000th power back to when you were sitting at the knee of that Lucy, the so-called original mama. Yeah, you can find out. Say, Lucy was in my family tree. Boy, they're going gaga over this movie, 12 Years a Slave. Funny how they never come out with movies about 50 Years a Slave about white people and all the slaves they called indentured servants because the Christians were too goody-two-shoes to call them what they were, slaves. And they were slaves in Europe, too. The Industrial Revolution was really white slavery, slave tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Whites know all there is to know about slavery. Our races have been slaves from way back. It was only in the, 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, that they figured out they're going to go down and get a whole new bunch of slaves into Africa. And they could make a lot more money, a lot of money there, so... But anyhow, when you hear anybody crying about this black slavery, start reminding them of the brutality of whites, the white slaves lived under in this country. I think it, what's his name? I can't remember his name. I knew him personally. That wrote that book, They Were White and They Were Slaves. He used to help us edit our paper way back for at least a few months. I was just reading here about some black kid, 14-year-old, was executed for killing two white girls down in South Carolina. But now it's the same old story. The prospect of new evidence that could exonerate him highlights long-held racial divisions of fear. See, they've got it now to where any time a black is sentenced to prison or anything else, they're always innocent. And they'll always have 500 lawyers, white lawyers and Jew lawyers, coming out to dig up all kinds of alleged evidence to clear their name. But they don't do that for white guys. I don't see it happening for white guys. We got guys that should be out of prison all over the place. I don't see these white race mixers working real hard to get white guys off the death row and so forth. Once in a while they do. But every time a black is in prison, and you know, a lot of times it's cop killers too. Of course, I don't consider a cop to be any more valuable than a regular citizen. But on the other hand, they really go the extra 9 yards to clear a black who's been a cop killer. You know, there for a while we thought Al Jazeera was a pretty good channel to listen to or watch. But things have changed a lot. Including, they used to be free, but now I know on my my cable, you got to pay extra for it. But they've changed a lot in the last couple of years. So I think that the days of getting anything good out of Al Jazeera are about over. Listen to this and you'll see why.
High school in Raleigh, North Carolina, teeming with 2,600 students, Enloe is known for a little bit of everything. Racial and socioeconomic diversity, a magnet program that attracts kids from all over the city, as well as enough of a crime problem that a security officer is permanently assigned to the campus. Today is a routine school day, unlike that day last May.
There's a police officer here in the high school.
Okay.
Because there's something going on. Kids out in the middle of the street.
Police? Or what's going on?
I don't know what they're going on, officer. I told you they ran it out of the building. They ran it from the school.
Did you see what's going
on? I need police officers.
I got arrested and booked and handcuffed.
They cuffed me and another student up, and we go down to the detention center.
When I got in the office, they said they were going to arrest me.
We sat down with one Enloe parent and two juniors at the high school to learn what happened May 16th and how it turned into such mayhem.
I actually was there to pick up my twin daughters, so I'm in the carpool lane. I just saw a lot of police presence there and didn't understand why at that time. I went inside and was going to check my daughters out. That's when they told me that it was a senior day prank, you know, water balloons or what have you.
That's right. A massive water balloon fight is what had triggered the 911 call. The Raleigh Police Department dispatched 24 officers over the next few hours to restore order.
A police officer runs up behind me. He's a really big guy. He grabs me. I snatch away from him, and he turns me around and grabs me by my neck and slams me on my back.
I actually saw Jabriel getting picked up, slammed to the ground, and handcuffed by a Raleigh police officer. Very, very disturbing. Very, very disturbing. It was very, very graphic.
The first thing that went in my head was, I can't believe I'm about to get arrested. I got to walk my sister home because we ride the same bus.
Jabriel Morris was not ultimately arrested, but Robert Brown was, and charged with disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor.
An administrator grabs me from behind, grabs my arm, my shoulder, and he's like, I seen you throw the water balloon. And I'm like, no, I didn't. So they take me to a conference room and they tell me you're about to be arrested.
Eight Enloe students were arrested that day, along with parent Kevin Hines. Hines says after witnessing what happened to Jabriel, he entered the school to alert the principal.
So here you walk into the administrator's office, right, to go report this to the principal or whomever, and out comes the officer who you see body slam.
Anyhow, you see it all the time. Almost every day on TV, something happens to blacks. Poor me. They're just picking on me. I never do anything wrong. I didn't throw that water balloon. I didn't shoot that guy. I didn't run over that guy. I'm just being picked on. And the moderator throwing softballs. Oh, you poor Negro. You poor Negro. It is too bad, because we know you're an honor student. You never do bad things. Well, there's a sizable percentage of the white race in this country just turn their ears off to that now. They don't even hear it. And I'm one of them, except when I have to dig out stuff to tell you. Yeah, to tell you, because I here is a school that's almost all Negro, nigger, African American, or whatever. And they got problems. And so the cops come running and grab them. Anyhow, that's on Al Jazeera. And so what good is Al Jazeera anymore? I thought they might turn out to be a pretty good station, but nah, same old crap. Same old crap. Now, they gave about 10 minutes to that story. About 10 minutes. Now, if a white woman gets raped, or an 80-year-old white woman gets raped, like happens all the time, they're lucky to get 1 minute. And the film crew, a whole bunch of them don't come around and talk to her for an hour, 2 hours either. But if a Negro stubs his toe, oh man, they're just picking on me something terrible. You know, I think somebody told me that Al Jazeera was bought out by Comcast. So the American corporations admit it. I'm waiting for them to buy out Russia Today. Maybe they already have. I don't know. If you want to have honest broadcasting, you got to have your own low-power station. That's what you do. Have your own low-power station. FM, AM, shortwave, ham radio. Yeah, but I'm going to warn you, the minute you say put out the stuff that needs to be put out, you know who's going to be turning you into the FCC like they did me? Another white working person. Yeah. Do you know what he said? I sent it to you. I don't want to hear that crap on there. I was talking about sick GIs. I was putting out the information on the surplus uranium poisoning on veterans. And he said, that's crap. Get that off of the radio. As far as I'm concerned, there's a sizable percentage of the white race that we don't need. Well, the highly controversial, crooked, corrupt, and other things, Southern Poverty Law Center, Southern Millionaires Law Center, is scheduled to hold continuing education training for Wisconsin law enforcement officers at the Chippewa Valley Technical College. The college doesn't advertise Southern Millionaires Law Center involvement on their website, but a brochure of the event posted online says the group will be responsible for the event. A left-wing organization, no, just a race-mixing bunch of bastards. It's not left or right. The Southern Poverty Law Center lists some mainstream politically conservative organizations side by side with neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and remnants of the Ku Klux Klan. And, of course, we know that there's no conservative organizations that would have anything to do with racism. Among their listed hate groups in Wisconsin is the Northwoods Patriots, a conservative grassroots group led by a former Republican candidate for state senate. And we know that it couldn't possibly be a white racist and want to save the white race. He never would do that in a million years. When a gunman fired into the office of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., in 2012, he subsequently told investigators that his rampage was inspired by the Southern Poverty Millionaires Center declaration that the Conservative Family Research Council was a hate group in the mold of a neo-Nazi organization. Well, I think they are a hate group. They hate us. They hate racial separatists. They hate white supremacists. They hate anybody that is concerned about the white race. That's true. While some of the groups designated as hate groups by the SPLC are in fact hate groups, I love it the way they boil everything down to one word. That is a brilliant way of handling propaganda, but it's very deceitful and dishonest. By conflating hate groups with political opponents, the SPLC has discredited itself. How could the SPLC discredit itself? It's been discredited ever since Morris Dees climbed into the bed with the arts manager in Washington, D.C. and was playing with his pecker. Foreign Policy magazine looked at what groups like the SPLC do and concluded, the problem is that the SPLC and the ADL are not objective purveyors of data. They didn't say that back in the old days, when the SPLC was only picking on people like Tom Metzger and all you guys out there. No, that was okay. These conservative sons of bitches, these right-wing cowardly bastards, where were they when we were being picked on and screwed? State Representative Chris Danow, a Democrat, made news last year when he called two politically conservative groups in Wisconsin hate groups because of the works of the SPLC. They are hate groups. They hate any group that's pro-white, just like the SPLC does. So that's the picture of that, man. Where were you guys? I told you when I got hammered in Portland, I said, they're going to be coming from you assholes. Oh, they didn't believe that. They got Metzger. That's okay. Now the SPLC and ADL and so on, they're going after conservatives. And I hope they crush them. We don't want them anyhow. Same for the Republican Party. Crush them. We don't need you, don't want you, anyhow. Listen to some Brits talking on a tape last night. They're still trying to breathe air into the BNP, British National Party. It's dead. It's over. All that democratic voting crap has been over for years. Then you got the National Front. They're trying to breathe the democratic thing of voting back into the National Front. Forget it. It's over. They have the English Defense League. Forget it. It's over. Unless you want to put on the brass knucks and take care of business, not with the street people, with the ruling class, you're through. You should have been in revolt decades ago in Britain. Of course, we should have been too, but you're really screwed. You don't have that much room. Where are you going to run to? You're going to have to go to a nigger country. England's going to become so unlivable, you'll have to go to some island out there and live with the niggers. Yeah, they'll probably be more fair to you than these rich sons of bitches, these City of London capitalists. I see in the ADL, no, the EDL and the BNP and those people, they're being attacked all the time in the streets by numbnut white people who are race mixers, too stupid to know that they're losing their jobs and their homes too. Shit. But this person I listened to talk, he was still talking about running people for office. Running people for office, you dumb son of a bitch. You moron. Are you ever going to wake up and smell the coffee? I doubt it. Well, that's it for today before I have a coronary and collapse right here on the desk. Have a stroke. I got my new little snow blower, my little hand push job in. It probably lasts about 5 minutes. But I got to put it together and give it a go. If you don't hear from me again, it's probably because the damn thing ate me up or electrocuted me. 14-5. I'm off in a cloud of dust and a hotty hi-ho silver. And remember, tick, 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 tick. But don't tick backwards like these reactionary assholes on the right. Like the BNP and the EDL and the National Front. We're outnumbered 5 million to 1, but we're still going to run candidates. Save me. Give me a fucking break.
Anytime.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their sweet white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid, right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed. You laughed and laughed and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ho ho. Hee hee. Ha ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their toes and toes, and they're coming to take me away. Ha ha. I cooked your food. I cleaned your house. This is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see her nice.
course I go berserk. Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid, right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh. You laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
First part of that was not so hot, so I played another version. And they are coming to take me away.